Okay, there we go. All right, it's October 29th, 2012. And we got Dave, Chris, Sally, and Mary on the call. So actually, Dave, I've got a potential lead for you. I was contacting Craigslist ads over on Sunday.
Okay.
And there's a guy who has a property in West Olympia. It's by the Olympia Country Club. Where is that? Is that kind of like, is that Cooper Point area or is that somewhere else?
Depends on which one he's talking about. There's a couple of them actually.
Okay.
But I think if he called it the Olympia Country Club, I think that is the one out Cooper Point by the golf course there.
All right. So Craigslist ad, it's 3-bedroom, looks like a Rambler, 1,250 square feet. It looks like a nice place. It's actually the kitchen. It looks like, I don't know if the kitchen's got granite or not. It looks like it kind of does. But anyway, he was asking $1,295 for rent, and I called him and was just chatting about the house. He owns it free and clear. He's totally open to different options. He actually says in the ad that he's willing to do a lease with option of purchase, and was kind of flexible on all those terms. And so I didn't want to, I just, you know, pre-screen a little bit, and then my thought was to have you contact him. And if you wanted the JV on it, then I can blast that to my buyer's list. You can do the same. I even said, hey, you don't mind if we make a nickel on this thing, do you? And he said, no, that's not a problem. So I'll shoot you an email with,
okay,
with his contact info.
Yeah, I'll be able to get a hold of him tomorrow.
So does anybody have anything pressing, any deals they're working on, any sellers that they're talking to, you know, anything that needs some urgent help at all?
Mike, I've got a couple things going. This is Mary, but nothing that is really urgent at this point.
Okay. Well, tell me, you got something, so let's, what do you got?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, I think pretty much all the leads on your place have petered out, and I don't
from
know.
From the signs?
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing is I called people back, and I said, hey, you know, want to know, because I had sent them the pictures, and I said, you know, I'd love to get some time with you just for a few minutes and find out exactly what you're looking for. The only person I really talked to regarding that was the one who wanted more space, the one with the 10 grand to put down.
Right.
And I've been combing Craigslist, haven't found anything for them, because that would be great. I mean, she only has 1,100 monthly. But so I have her that I'm still kind of searching for. I've got this other guy, and, you know, Phil had a house, but it's really a double wide, and it's not what this guy was really looking for. So I've got another lead for this other guy that I was looking for, the one who wanted something. He's got, well, I didn't put the information. This was something I put out there in REAPS, and he's got 6,000 down. He can afford 1,100 a month, but he probably can go 1,200. I think he can stretch it. The only thing is he doesn't want to go above 1,500, including utilities. So I think that there may be another house that Rose, what is her name, Tabati, she called me, and she's got something in Puyallup that's been redone, and it's really a nice place. And well, it was actually hers, and she's thinking of not living here anymore. So I've got that that's kind of being worked. And then the other thing I have is that other guy who has like 17 grand as a down payment, and he pays $2,700 per month, and it's completely subsidized by the state. And so I'm going to see if I can actually get him qualified for a regular house. And I did find a mortgage broker, by the way, today, who I think would be good to work with.
You had sent me an email, didn't you, about that, though, right?
I did, you know, but, I mean, unless – I would love to get in touch with Kent if you happen to have his contact.
I have not heard from him for a long time.
Okay, so all the information I had – from him is incorrect. I can no longer get through to him. So anyway, but so I contacted a number of people, and I think I found somebody who is going to work out great. So I gave this other guy a call and tonight, and wasn't able to reach him, but hopefully I'll be able to get something moving on that. And then the other thing is that guy in West Seattle who had that really expensive house, he said give him a call at the end of the month because he was actually doing some rehab on it further to make
it. Was that the guy that we met with?
No, this is somebody who he had a gorgeous house. He's a contractor and he did it all himself. But his pain is having people walk through the house, and he had it listed for so long, wasn't able to sell. He had it like for 5:30. We had talked about it kind of early on, and he had it listed. He couldn't sell it. But I think we might be able to do something as a lease option with a higher price. So, you know, a little bit more healthy price per month. So anyway, I'm going to give him a call at the end of the month. He said give him a call and he should be done with it. But, you know, those are things, I mean, nothing's certain, but I've just got a lot of stuff that's, I guess, happening.
Do you have the contact information? So, like, remember the guy that we saw at West Seattle? Have you...
Yeah. You're talking about the guy who was going through a divorce?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, why?
Do you know what the status of that house is now?
You know, that's one I have not followed up on, and I'm kind of combing through some of my information, looking at where I still need to follow up, who I need to put on autoresponders, and I'm trying to get that moving forward, so... I'm sure I'll come upon it, and I have been checking out, you know, when I go through some of the stuff, what actually has sold and what hasn't. You and I had done a call when we all got together, and we called that guy who was moving to, I think it was Whidbey, and he was an artist, and he sold his house really fast.
Yeah.
So I look at that and I either mark them off the list or it's something that I want to follow up on. So I will definitely get back to that guy as well.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't hurt. I mean, he obviously had a situation that was, you know, if he hadn't done anything with house now, I can imagine he's probably pretty motivated.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and then I called the other guy who you and I had gone out and taken a look at his property just to kind of check in with him. I don't know where he's at and that because I know he had some fix up too.
Has anybody marketed to expired listings at all recently?
I had asked for a list, and but I never actually got one.
Okay. Hey, David, have you done that before for investing, done the expired listings?
You know, I have. I've gone through them and just pulled the ones, the more recent ones, and just called all of them, the ones that were expired, I think. What would make even more sense is to refine that to expired and vacant. Those would be the most motivated
ones.
Yeah.
So you know, you can just look on the MLS in the ones that say vacant.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you'd have to look at the listing itself to see that. But
are you having a challenge doing that because you're an agent and they're probably getting tons of calls? I just had a property that I had a listing expire, and I'm getting so many phone calls from real estate agents looking to relist it now.
Yeah, that's a real common thing they do, and the problem is getting past that first couple seconds where they say, are you a real estate agent, before you hear the dial tone.
Right. Well, I would imagine that expired listings might be a good, list to mail to or to call. I mean, is that something that I know you the seller's phone number is on the listing, or at least with the agent part of the listing?
Yeah.
Is that something that can regular investors call those, or is that just something that only realtors can do?
If you didn't have access to the MLS, I don't think you would be able to see that. Like if an agent sent you the information. The client level information, it doesn't include details like the seller's phone number and stuff.
Yeah, I haven't done it in a while. We used to do it. My old admin had access to MLS, her own login, and we used to call expireds. And at the time we weren't doing lease purchase, but we were getting leads from that for buying houses. So it seems to me like a wholesale lease option that might be good leads. So, and did I tell you guys I'm going to be heading out on Thursday? I'm heading to the Joe McCall's Control Without Ownership seminar.
Yeah. You told us, Mike, but I didn't remember the date. So that's through this weekend?
Yeah. Well, it's going to be, I'm flying out Thursday, and I'll be coming back Saturday. So it's actually Friday and Saturday. It's only a two-day event, but
okay.
I'm hoping to learn some good stuff. I actually, I talked with Chuck Litka. Do you guys know Chuck?
I don't.
He's a Reefs member. I saw him at the last Reefs meeting. And one of the things that they're Joe and Todd Toback teach also is a quick turn leasing. And it's basically like wholesaling a rental property. But, there's people that are getting some success doing that where if the seller won't consider a rent to own, but they just want to rent it out. And I guess Chuck's done some deals like that. He said those are super easy. So I'm kind of curious to learn a little bit about that.
Wow, that sounds good.
So it could add another little profit center. The checks aren't as big, but I mean, I guess you make anywhere from $500 to $1,500 on any deal.
Great.
So, well, hey, Chris, is there anything going on that I can help out with right now?
Not at the moment. I'm thinking about talking to a title company, grabbing a list of downtown Seattle condos, and doing some handwritten letters, or at least signed letters.
Okay. Well, I know you've been busy with school, so you kind of get a pass. But do you want me to give you an assignment for this week, or are you still going to be kind of keeping this a little bit on the back burner until finals are over?
I just took two exams last week, so I've got a little bit till another one comes up. I'll take an assignment.
Okay. Well, I think we should just get you on the phone and maybe call 10 sellers between now and next week, and you can report back. So for rent by owner, for sale by owner. So 10 of them should be able to do that in about an hour.
Sure.
So why don't you do that, and then so with the next call, I'll ask you how things went on it.
Sounds like a plan.
Sweet. And then also get that darn condo close. So, I want to see that I want to see that thing in your name, and then not have a thing hanging in the air, Do you have a roommate now, or is it just you?
No, it's just me. I figured it would be more trouble to get a roommate for the few months that I'll be fixing it up than to fix it up and be done with it and rent the entire thing out for more later on.
Right. Okay.
Especially since I don't really know anybody who lives over here, so I don't want a random roommate just for a few months.
Exactly. Yeah, that's not necessarily a smart thing. All right, cool. Well, then we'll hold you accountable for next week to talk to 10 sellers and maybe even get someone on the contract. So Sally, I know that you are muted and out there. You want to unmute yourself?
I'm back.
All right.
I'm doing...
So how things are in your world?
I'm doing tax deeds. The foreclosure sale comes up for Washington in December.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got those lists, and I'm working them.
Great.
There's getting a property is really competitive that way, but... there's a new deal where you can contact them before it goes to the sale and see if they want to sell, and then
absolutely.
you don't pay the taxes, and that entitles you to the excess proceeds. And what
mm-hmm.
it does for the seller is that they get to take the whole tax deduction against their income, and if they don't have it for 1 year, they can carry it to the next. So it's kind of a win-win.
So are you sending letters out to those now?
Yeah.
Awesome. In which counties are you targeting?
This time I'm targeting the smaller counties, Kittitas and Whatcom, and last year I did all of the big counties. And
there's a lot of competition.
There was a lot of competition. There were people, a lot of construction people that were buying up lots. And
mm-hmm.
anything that was a three-bedroom, two-bath, forget it. It was really gone. So I'm
yeah.
going farther out on the peninsula, farther north, farther east.
Okay. Very cool. And so now I know that over here, like Kitsap has theirs in December, but I think Mason is in January. Is that kind of the same time frame as the other counties you're looking at?
Washington State is pretty much all December. They do move it a little bit. Benton County is online, and
mm-hmm.
So I think theirs moved into January, and Thurston may be online too.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Cool. Well, let me know how that goes. I'd be interested in find out because I know other people that have talked about marketing that list and seen about buying the property before the tax sale, like you said. So.
And have, you know, all I've seen is marketing. Do you know anybody who did it really?
I know people that market to the list.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. I don't know necessarily. There's a lot of raw land I've seen. Is that what you're finding too?
There is. Raw land, you have to be much more careful with the EPA stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to end up with a cleanup site.
Sure.
So,
then the other thing is you're dealing with something that isn't going to provide income and everything, too.
Right.
So, well, I would love to share. I wish that we were meeting in person, and maybe I'll have to do this, but I got an awesome, awesome deal on a contract, which it's like a good, it's a single family, but it's one that probably could result in up to about $100,000 profit over in Bremerton. So I'm thinking about maybe just putting a video together because there's the way I'm doing it, I totally changed my exit strategy. I actually changed my exit strategy twice, but the way I'm going to do it is going to allow me to make a bunch of cash up front and then a bunch of cash on the back end with some big cash flows. So It was an inherited property, and the seller contacted me back in July. I figured the ARV was about 240, and I figured after meeting with her family, it was the three sisters and the father passed away, and after meeting with the family and going through the house, I figured we needed about $50,000 in fix-up. And so I kind of made them a ballpark offer, letting them know that, you know, based on my all cash, the most I can, you know, because I use private lenders, I said my challenge is that I have to keep I can buy no more than about 65% of the after fix-up value and subtracting the cost of repairs. So my offer based on a $50,000 fix-up and a $235,000 or $240,000 selling price is going to be between $100,000 and $110,000. And so that was pretty low, but they just wanted to sit on it. And about a month and a half later, they called me back and asked if that offer was still good. Long story short, I brought my contractor in, and when we were going through the property, it looked like, you know, it's perfectly livable, but it was kind of dated. So it's, you know, 60s, you know, carpet, and it's got the 70s wood paneling on the walls, and it's got the ugly countertops and everything in the kitchen. But there's no real major problems with it. But as we started looking at this place, and it's a pretty big square footage house, with all the stuff we wanted to do to really make it nice, it would result in a larger sales price, but the bid came in like between $90,000 to $100,000 for fix-up for all the stuff that we really wanted to do to really update it to the, you know, current standards and everything. So I went back to the seller, and I said, unfortunately, the bid came in way too high, and I said, for me, the best I could do would probably be around $85,000. I know that's going to be too low, and I assumed in my mind there's no way they're going to accept that. And I said, but I do have another option. And so if you guys ever get to this situation where your cash price is going to be too low for you to buy yourself, I usually make a super low cash offer, and then what I do is I'll give a more modest cash offer that would be if I could bring in another investing partner. So that's like wholesaling, obviously. So I just said, you know, I mean, I can only pay about 85, and I know you're probably not gonna. That's gonna be way too low for you. But if I can, I can give you 103 if you can give me a few weeks, and I can find a one of my investor partners that can come in with cash, and they may be able to pay a little bit more than me. So, and I said it's not guaranteed, but why don't we meet this Thursday and kind of write up the terms so that you know exactly, you know, what you'd be selling for if I can get the buyer. So she agreed to that, and they wanted the higher amount. And then the day before the meeting, I called to confirm the appointment, and she said, you know, my family talked about it, and we decided that we just want the sure thing. So would your $85,000 offer still go? And I said, oh, okay. So anyway, wow. I'm buying it for $85. Yeah, it's a really, really good deal. So my first exit strategy was, well, maybe I can put in not $100,000 in work, because that would make, I could probably sell it for $260,000 if I did $100K in work, but I think if I still put in $50K, I could probably sell it for $220,000 to $230,000. So that would be one exit strategy, and I could probably make about $60,000. Second exit strategy would be to wholesale, and I could probably wholesale that for about $25,000. But then I thought, well, you know what, maybe let me take a look. If I did a lease option, I wouldn't actually have to do all the major fixing that I wanted. I could borrow about $120,000 on the house. Actually, I could borrow about $140,000 on it. But if I only borrowed $120,000 and put $10,000 or $15,000 into fixing, I could put $20,000 to $25,000 in my pocket on the day I bought it, and then I'd sell it on a lease purchase for $200,000 or $210,000, and I would have about a $75,000 back end and $700 a month. So I think that's what I'm going to end up doing is doing the lease option. So it would be about, yeah, $20,000 up front, $700 a month, and I've had a $75,000 back end profit. So that's a freaking deal. They don't come along very often, but that's going to be a good
awesome.
One. Yeah. So I'll shoot maybe a video with that one at some point, put it on the website so you guys can kind of see the property and my thought process behind the whole thing. So,
awesome.
Sure.
Anyway, gosh, is there anything else that you guys have for questions or anything?
Hey, Mike, I've got a real quick question. I might have somebody interested in your Bremerton property, that really nice house you shout out to us.
Was it the one that was fully remodeled?
Yeah,
the trees in the backyard? Okay.
So is it sewer or septic?
It's septic.
It is. Okay. They really didn't like septic.
They were wanting sewer, huh?
And what about your other one? Is that septic as well in Port Orchard?
That's sewer.
Okay.
Yeah, all the properties that I have are sewer except for that one is septic.
Okay. Okay. All right. Sounds great. Thank you.
That's the one they're interested in, huh?
They really like that one, but I don't know if, I mean, they wanted something bigger than the one in Port Orchard. They wanted more space, but they've got a lot of family, and I think they could come up. I mean, it wasn't something I had intended to even talk about, but when they were telling me what they didn't like about Port Orchard, that's, you know, I had seen the other one, and so I mentioned that, and sounds like it would be something right up their alley. She told me she didn't have that much down, but I think she could if she really wanted to, because she's got a lot of extended family. So I'll just let her know anyway, and, you know, we'll go from there. I wanted to ask
question. They said specifically that they did not want a septic system.
Yeah, she did. She did. She said she prefers not septic. I don't remember why she said that, I don't know. It was for some reason. But, you know, maybe if she saw the house, she'd consider it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on, you know, some older septics are, I mean, this house isn't super old. It was built in the 70s, but, you know, it's not like a house that was built in the 40s or 50s on the septic.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and it's a gorgeous house. Well, you never know. So I'll shoot over some of the pictures anyway. I just wanted to ask you something about your free and clear stuff, and I know this really isn't part of the acts, but do you ever consider doing something like the Richard Roop, where he actually gives people like a kind of a market selling price if they actually do a complete or a large carry back, you know, like an 80% or 90% carry back. Would you ever consider doing something like that? Or I know, you know, people benefit because there's no realtor costs and all that. But I kind of got the idea that you wouldn't consider buying something unless there was a considerable discount.
Fully financed maximum allowable offer is 90 cents on the dollar minus repairs.
Okay.
And
right.
I'm willing to raise that, and that would be for a 7-year term with payments that would allow no less than a $300 a month positive cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
If the seller is willing to go out longer than 7 years, then I can pay more.
Okay.
Now, Richard, what Richard does is he will give a seller, if it's a $200,000 house, he'll structure an offer to give the seller $210,000 or $215,000.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and it's I've never, you know, I don't really like setting a purchase price way above what
mm-hmm.
the house is worth. Typically, when I make my offer of 90 cents on the dollar minus repairs,
mm-hmm.
you know, if I'm bringing private money in there, I don't ever want the seller to be overfinanced on.
Well, if you're bringing a private investor, sure.
Yeah, but and even if I'm not, I don't like the idea of having, you know, owing more of the house than it's worth, even if with all that principal pay down. So.
Sure.
I've never offered more than.
Okay. But I mean, would you go market price or because I mean.
Sure. I mean, if you look at the if you look at the amortization on it, if you're doing a very little to no interest, then you know, paying full market value. If you can structure the payment so you still have your cash flow, and then you can get in with very little or no money out of pocket, then those deals will make sense.
Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, I think we'll just wrap her up then. So, David, I will email you. Actually, you know what I'll do, David? I'll call the guy tomorrow.
Okay.
The guy over at West Olympia and just kind of let him know what we're looking to do. And I'll just tell him that I want to have you come on over and that you're my partner and everything. So, we'll do that. And then, Chris, you got to call 10 sellers. Sally and Mary, you guys keep on doing what you're doing, and then we'll just I'll on the next conference call share what I learned over at the San Diego event.
Cool.
Great.
All right.
Sounds great.
Have a good night.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
All right.
I'll see you. Bye.
Bye.